What is going on, everybody? We are back for episode 11 of the Most Prevailing Stories podcast. The groundhog did see his shadow, which means there are still 82 days left of school. Whether you're a winter or spring person, as always, hang in there. We've got more updates in news, sports, and a captivating story to close things out featuring two young student authors from our very own Milford Public School District. Stay tuned for another great episode coming your way. The budget for the upcoming school year has officially been sent to the Board of Finance as they begin to review all the city department proposals. Members of the public will have the opportunity to comment on the budget at the one and only public hearing taking place February 15th. The Board of Education's budget review presentation will be on March 1st. If you're interested in the schedule of what departments go on what nights, you can find it on the city's website. A lot of people have been asking for this year's graduation dates. We don't quite have them yet, but you can expect them to be available around April. Each year, the Board of Ed officially sets the graduation date schedule at their April meeting. Since snow days are pretty much behind us by then, we can more confidently predict when the last day of school will be. Make sure to keep on the lookout. It may seem early to start talking about spring, but it'll be that time of year again before you know it. Signups for spring and summer rec sports are starting up. Milford Junior Major League Baseball has opened their registration portal for the 2023 season, and programming is offered for all who want to sign up from ages 2 to 19. Milford Youth Lacrosse is also now accepting registrations. Both boys and girls from grades K through 8 are asked to register by February 18th in order to be added to a roster. The spring season will run from mid-March to early mid-June. For more information on both baseball and lacrosse signups, you can find their flyers online. Finally, to conclude this segment, the podcast will officially be following a weekly schedule starting next week. Make sure to prepare yourself for new episodes every Friday before 3 p.m. That's all we have for today in news. Stick around for our sports segment coming up next. Foreign's wrestling team is coming off a big win over Notre Dame West Haven to improve to 23-8 on the year, but the real storyline this week is the Queen of the Mat tournament hosted by Foreign, an all-girls wrestling tournament that had 138 girls from all over Connecticut competing. This serves as the first ever Connecticut all-girls high school tournament. If I'm speaking off the record, I'm a pretty big fan of this idea for the growth of the sport. Women are able to wrestle at the college level against other women, and this tournament was a huge opportunity for the high school-aged athletes to experience that themselves. It would definitely be pretty cool to see if more of these events were hosted in future seasons. Hopefully we'll get to see it. Wrestlers are some of the most humble and disciplined athletes you'll find in sports, so it's great to see the girls get the chance to put that on full display and compete. Milford's girls co-op hockey team is 5-1-1 in their last seven. This improves them to 7-7-1 as they prepare for the co-op team of Ridgefield, Danbury, and Immaculate tomorrow evening at the Lou Astorino Ice Rink in Hamden and try to push that record above 500. Foreign and Law's track teams have kept plenty busy since we last checked in on them. Both schools competed in the SEC Coaches Invitational and SEC East Championship meet. They will prepare for the SEC Championships tomorrow and look to make some noise at Floyd Little as both teams' athletes continue to crush PRs and qualify for states. Best of luck to all competing. Jonathan Law's gymnastics team took the win over Foreign last Saturday to take the series on the season. They are now 8-4 on the year and will look to keep the momentum alive heading into their next outing. Foreign will get another crack at them along with Daniel Hand, Hamden, and Mercy coming to compete as well, but Law gets the bragging rights this year in the crosstown rivalry. Jonathan Law's basketball team is red hot, having won 5 of their last 6. They beat Foreign 52-32 to complete the season sweep on the year and also claim crosstown bragging rights. They then went on the road and grabbed a second straight win over West Haven, improving their record to 10-3, already tying their win total from last year. They will play a home game against Shelton tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Make sure to show up and show your support as the Lawmen look to make it 11-3 on the season. In other basketball news, Foreign's girls basketball team is also having a pretty historic season. They've won 3 straight games and have taken 6 of their last 7. They beat Law 66-39 for the second time this year and are coming off a road win over Cheshire. The Lions are now 13-3 in the year and have tied their 2013 win total of 13. They will look to pass that total with 4 games remaining on the schedule and North Haven next at 7 p.m. tonight at Foreign. That's all we have for sports today. Coming up next, we have a story about two young authors who are also students in the Milford Public Schools who made a visit to one of our elementary schools to answer questions about their book. Stay tuned. Former Pumpkin Delight students Cassandra Smith and Bailey Lubier recently made a visit to their old elementary school to discuss their newly published book, The War of the Monkeys and Balloons. Now middle school students at West Shore, the two of them talked all about their writing process as 4th and 5th graders were able to ask questions and learn more. Here's an exclusive look at that day.
So, this is our book, The War of Monkeys and Balloons. So, we got the idea just from a video game. It's about, it's a tower defense game, and it's just you play Sound Monkeys and you fight balloons. And we were like, well, why don't we make a story about this? And that's what we did. The story is about Daniel, and he's just regular kid, and he just gets called to a facility, and then he gets to fight against the balloons.
Yeah, it probably took us probably a whole school year to write the book, I would say, about, and then it got published over the summer, thanks to Bailey's dad. It got published. So we did the format kind of like an I Survive book, which most of you have probably read. The first chapter was from like the middle of the battle, and then the second chapter started from the beginning and led up to the battle. But we switched it between a monkey point of view and a balloon point of view. We both wrote some of each. It was kind of just whoever had ideas wrote stuff down, and then the other read it and made any changes that they wanted.
Yeah, adding on to that, we went back and forth throughout the year. Sometimes during ASA, we'd write both at the same time. In the morning, whenever we'd had time, it's just whenever there was free time, we'd write. And like she said, it would just continue off of each part.
Also worth noting, Bailey's father is a professional published author, and he will also be coming back to Pumpkin Delight for a part two of this visit. He was instrumental in the process of helping this book come together as well. Here's Mr. Lubier and Principal Sherrod McNeil with more from that day.
You said you made it on Google Docs, right?
Yes, we made it on Google Docs.
How did you, like, form it into a book?
We didn't format it. My dad formatted it.
Yeah.
And then we were able to print the book.
That is a fantastic question.
That's a Mr. Lubier question.
That leads us right into having Mr. Lubier talk to us a little bit about what it was like helping our authors edit and kind of going through the process of getting them published. So give Mr. Lubier a round of applause.
Editing the book was interesting because I had seen many, many short stories from my son over the years, most of the 1 and 2 page variety. So when he told me Cassandra and he were working on this book, I said, oh, that's great, that's great. And eventually, 15,000 words later, I said, this is more than just a story, buddy. So it was awesome to read it as it went and then sort of like to see the complete project. I thought, okay, let's see what's going on here. And they just, I don't know if you guys had answered it, if the question was about the game itself. It's the game really doesn't have much of a story, but they created this narrative almost from out of nothing, which was probably as father here, it was like the most impressive thing. I didn't know my son was capable of that, so I was very impressed by both of them. So I think the biggest joy in the editing part was trying to kind of keep the editor hat on and just not get lost and just enjoying the book, which I genuinely did.
2 to 3, let's go 3 questions for Mr. Lubier, and then we have to dismiss it. The bell's gonna ring soon.
So go ahead, I'll show you first, go ahead.
So, do you know who won, like, the battle?
Oh,
well,
I know.
That's a spoiler.
Yeah, I can't let you know that, though. But of course I know.
Alice.
What's up, buddy?
Do you know where these can be sold?
So there's such a thing called a fair use policy that we couldn't really break with the makers of the game. I think Bailey or Cassandra mentioned we had emailed them to find out how to go about this. So unfortunately, we don't have a license to sell the book in like an Amazon or a Barnes & Noble, but they have a few copies, and I know the library here has a couple. So you can certainly borrow them here if you want to read them.
Alice.
We went to a convention.
One more question.
Alice.
Let's go over here. Who was it, Alice?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
What was the, like, if you were to say, like, the hardest part about, like, editing, helping out
with the book? Editing is a tough process because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes certain parts don't really go with the flow of the story. Like the story may be going like this, and all of a sudden there's this weird part that goes way down here. And by the time you get back up to the story, you're thinking, what did that have to do with the story? So we had to have some tough conversations. Remember that, guys?
Yeah.
So that was probably the toughest part, but they got to learn a lot. And I will say this to build on Mr. McNeil's teaser. In the second book, which I've already proofread once, they take a lot of risks with themes, with just morals. There's a lot in the second book that I didn't expect to see. So they have definitely grown as writers. So if you do end up reading the first book, you borrow it in the library, just, I can't wait for these guys to get reactions on the second book. It's phenomenal.
There are two more volumes of this series in the works. It's great to see students from our district really get passionate about a project of this caliber. We can't wait to see what they come up with next. That's another episode in the books. We continue to appreciate the support as always, and remember to come back next week for our most prevailing stories to date.